96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 8th of November, 2022, and Storm is traveling. Storm is traveling. What does that mean? That means get yourself a radio. If you don't have a radio, get a pair of headphones to connect to your phone to turn it into a radio. This is very important. You got to stay up to date with all of the notices. At this moment, I think Northwest Bahamas, that's Nassau, Eleuthera, Andrus, we are under a tropical storm warning. But the problem with these storms is they like women, they fickle, they could change their mind at any moment and change direction. I mean, they like prime ministers, because when you go in east and then you just won't go west, you know? They fickle. They could change at any moment. So, number one, always keep a radio or a device that receives radio signals on you. Two, keep it charged. Three, stay tuned to all news breaks. You know, most stations run on the hour. That's when you tune in. Tell your boss, look here, I know you say no radio, but until 12 p.m. when we get out of here or the end of the day, we need that hourly update on the storm. Another very important update. If you have a juju tree, please go and tend to your juju tree now. Let's figure out how we could preserve the blossoms on these juju trees while the strong wind is blowing. I know it don't seem like that much of an emergency, but wait until it's proper juju season and you can't find no juju. Mm-hmm. And I know you're saying, man, Aaron, that's just one type of fruit, but did you know the juju is in the apple family? Or apple is in the juju family, if you know, believe in yourself like I believe in me. It is an alternative to apples, so it's an alternative to apple sauce. So it's a good source of food and nutrition for children and little babies. If you struggling a little bit and you need to make something work, if you got jujus, you got some food for your babies. And that's why it's important for us to try and preserve as many of these juju blossoms as possible during this time, whether traveling. I've got my co-hosts in studio with me today for this World News with Mark Palmer and Gail Hannah Tuesday. Good morning, good morning.
Good morning this morning.
Good morning.
Yes, it's great to see you guys.
Great to see you too. I have 100 avocados on my tree and probably 100 star fruit. So I'm praying. Actually, I'm praying the storm just goes north, right? And doesn't hit anyone.
Yeah. Just go back out into the ocean. Yeah.
Miss Bermuda, just go
absolutely.
Back
whales ocean. Like that, the entertainment. Go entertain the whales. So Nicole.
I think, you know, for food security, which we're going to talk about, you know, when you have these storms coming through, you could wipe out your entire production, your entire crop gone. And you know how long it takes to grow things with vegetables? It takes at least 6 to 8 weeks.
And listen, don't let it be a fruit tree that's been damaged. It takes most trees about 5 years from planting to fruit production, 5 years minimum. For mangoes, it's 7 years minimum. That's a whole child, that's a whole lifetime. In fact, they say all the cells in your body will replicate, will change, right? Will die and be replaced in the space of 7 years. You have become a whole different person. The mango tree may not remember. I'll remember the mango tree. I never forget one yet, but it may not remember me. I got a text here that says, boy, my juju don't need too much pressure. No, they don't. They don't. And the wind is picking up. Another text, great show as usual. you forget to mention, don't be stupid like me and ain't pay the house insurance, so everyone can pay your house insurance even though they don't pay you in time to claim.
Oh, boy.
Dear Texter, I my heart jumped just now. I don't even have a house. I barely understood what that meant, but heartache and pain. Dear Bahamians, things are getting tighter. Mm-hmm. What we have to do in these times is to prioritize the most important things and to have the important conversations with your children about why it is they're going to be living a lifestyle that they're not accustomed to. Mm-hmm. See, it ain't just your wife or your spouse. Oh, you know, this is not the lifestyle I've become accustomed to in this marriage. You got to talk to your children about those things. And then now is a good time in hurricane season to explain to them why it is you're going to prioritize bills over experiences, mm-hmm. bills over things, right? So that your children could rest assured that if something happens to the home or to the apartment, because you could get contents insurance if you're renting, that the children could rest assured that everything could be okay at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. That if my things get destroyed, we will be compensated. My parents could help me buy them back, mm-hmm. right? Let's start having these difficult conversations. Like if, you know, when I get home and I look at them little raccoon children, I'm going to have to tell them, listen, I'm going to have to spend $1,000 securing these trees, shoring them up. Make sure the storm don't take them out, or and more importantly, trimming them up, make sure they don't mm-hmm. destroy somebody else's property. Mm-hmm. So it ain't gonna be the amount of dilly you thought you was gonna have, raccoon. It ain't gonna be the amount of passion fruit you thought you was gonna have, raccoon. We gotta scale back.
It's a tough conversation.
It is.
Okay.
No food security for raccoons.
I mean, they got a plan. We don't have a plan. They have a plan. Right. I'd be honest with you, there's a raccoon in the bush near me.
Okay.
There's many. And this raccoon, though, for the last 3 nights, has run onto the porch looking for food. Now, the raccoon is smart. He knows there's food there because I've been feeding somebody stray cat.
Okay.
It ain't my cat. So it's somebody else's cat.
He's aware of this new food source.
Ah, there you go. Mm-hmm. And he's a little jealous because I knew he was living in the bush and I put out food for him.
Oh, boy.
But the raccoon is hungry. There's not fruit season. Mm-hmm. Gnaps were late, but they're gone now. Hog plum was late, but it's gone now. Mm-hmm. Dilly's a little weird. We haven't seen any dilly yet for a while, so there's no dilly sauce. Not a lot of papayas. I'm not sure what's happening in that sort of eastern area where I live, but I don't see a lot of papayas either. Passion fruit is coming up, and I think the raccoon is eating as much passion fruit as it could get. And so this...
What about the avocado? Or pear, as we like to call it.
So where I live, most of the pears disappearing now. We're not like Mark over here, who's just entering his peak avocado season.
Okay.
Well, I have one winter avocado.
Ah, there you go.
Which didn't give me any fruit for 4 years, and I stood by it last year. I said, I'm going to chop you down.
Oh, no.
If you don't give me any fruit this year, and guess what? 100 avocados. So you have to talk to your plants. King Charles used to talk to his plants, so makes sense, right?
I mean, what else you tell the tree? Dear tree, we're going to have an intervention. I don't know what he told you, but it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And save some pears for me.
Well, I wasn't going to chop him down, really. I couldn't do that, but he didn't know that, or she, or it.
It knew, in its heart it knew.
Maybe.
You know, George Washington Carver... The famous inventor, invented all kinds of things, including peanut butter, said that every morning he would get up and go into his greenhouse, into his workspace. He would wake up by 4, and by 4:30, he would be in there. And he said, God was talking to me through the plants.
Okay.
That's how I got my ideas. Mm-hmm. God was talking to me through. And so those plants could hear your heart, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really? The tree knew you weren't going to cut it down.
Well, you know, we don't have any raccoons in our area, but when I lived out east, we had them. And you could tell them because they used to, you hear their clattering on the rooftop at night. And then the next day, your sugar apple tree would be demolished and raided. Or they would take the pear and stuff like that. But we don't have any out by Shirley Street.
All right, so I got a text here that says, Aaron, just tie a sheet or two over the tree just before the storm.
There you go.
And so this is going to, because what it is we need to stabilize the tree, right? Catching the blossoms won't do anything. Mm-hmm. It's stopping the tree from shaking, which is what we're trying to do. Thank you, Texter. Let's go to this call. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning to your party. How you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning. We good, good.
Yeah, I don't know what this lady I do. It's no cold.
So I'm introducing to the Tuesday panel, Gail Hanna.
Gail Hanna.
Yes.
Good to have you.
Thank you so much.
She's going to be a regular
I hope so.
Listen, let me put some things to the table. I would prefer mine to spread up. And I thought we'd be doing it now. They get a light, storm alert through their phone.
NEMA.
Well, they don't call it NEMA, yeah.
Okay.
What do you call it, yeah?
FEMA.
Whatever they got, yeah, from their NEMA, you can call it that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They get a light, weather alert, storm alert, hurricane alert to their smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
On a regular basis. I know we were testing this thing to our two major communication companies. What happened to that?
I have no idea, so but...
How we get two things for promotion sake and don't go back to it?
Well, I tell you what, we Pumpkin Eater, we had a recent announcement that the bill was just tabled to, among other things, merge both NEMA and the Disaster Recovery Authority, right?
Under the former government, they did test it, mm-hmm. where they would, under the former chairman, go back to your, got involved.
Yeah.
You would see the number, what the charter rights name.
I can't remember what the charter rights name, but I...
Charter was missing, or died, got his name, my apologies for that, but, during that time...
Oh, you mean the Marco alert?
Yeah.
Right, but the Marco alert is separate. The Marco alert is about missing children.
No, let me finish.
Yeah, yeah.
During that time, they would say this would be put together, or not a similar software, but put together to alert for storms.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, go back to your guardian in the past.
Yeah, yeah. I know, I feel you. I've seen some NEMA notices before on my phone.
Yeah,
right.
They started to test it. But
right.
They stopped. I don't know why.
Well, this is what I'm saying. I imagine that in the process of sort of consolidating the NEMA, that authority, and the DRA, that they are figuring it out, right, and deciding which body will be responsible for these broadcasts and how will it link with the Met office and all the other offices, right? So I think we can see that shortly. We must do.
You got some hidden information. We can see that shortly. Like you said, wait for the 2 minutes. And most likely that could be in a disaster plan.
Yeah.
That's the plan, I hope. Because if this is important for the fishermen on the sea.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Get these information. No, this is only for hurricane. This is for tornado.
Listen, Pumpkin Eater, I gotta go. I just lost a caller.
But I want to put that there, Tony. Yeah, yeah. On it and all of that. But y'all continue the good way.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pumpkin Eater. Producer, let's go to this next call. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. Good morning. You still there, caller?
Aaron, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
You know, I want to say good morning to you and to, you said Gail Hanna?
Yes, sir.
I want to say good morning to Gail Hanna.
And Mr. Mark Palmer.
And Mr. Palmer.
Yeah.
I just jumped in my vehicle. You know, being in the Bahamas for 6-7 generations, I've been taught some things about hurricanes, you know. The trees can tell you when you're going to have a bad hurricane season.
Mm-hmm.
You have El Nino and La Nina.
Now, Graham, hold on, Graham. There's called that obey, you know, and that's against the law. Be careful what you say next.
Well, La Nina is a real world event.
That's what I tell them too, Graham, but they still call it obey.
Okay, so then I know my obey then.
There you
watch
go.
This. So, if you look at the trees at the beginning of hurricane season,
uh-huh.
You see the branches, instead of aiming straight up, they start to aim down. The tree is getting its center of gravity low.
Okay.
Not every single tree, but trees that have branches that extend out this way.
Uh-huh.
And when the tree gets low and moving its center of gravity low,
uh-huh.
You need to be very wary because it knows because of weather conditions that we can't see and feel. Although if we had a sixth sense, which we should focus more on, but we don't, we would know when these events are happening. But watch the trees. They would tell you.
Mm-hmm. Without a doubt. I mean, that much is true.
Yes.
Thank you, Graham.
I just wanted to weigh in on that. Have a good day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No.
Well, that's a new one to me, but I know, you know, when I lived in England, farmers can tell when a storm was coming because the cows would lay down.
They'd
and
get low.
There were signals, you know. Yeah. And in those days, we looked. We had barometers, right?
Yeah.
My grandfather had a barometer in his kitchen, so you could check every morning what the barometric pressure is.
Yeah.
And, you know, when that dropped or started dropping precipitously, you knew
something was about to happen.
Was going to come. Yeah. But we'd like complete, you know, we used to be able to do that ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We didn't need a text on a phone to come and tell us. We could see the barometric pressure drop. And you go, what the hell's going on here? This looks like a storm is coming, right?
In fact, family islanders had to rely on these traditional practices to keep themselves safe, you know, and fishermen as well, in particular, needed to know what the sky was telling them, what the animals were telling them, what the fishes of the sea, how they started moving differently. And so people will tell you, watch fruit trees, right? They're varying position. Well, they're varying statements. One is, if the gnat produce plenty gnat early, then it's trying to get rid of its fruit early because it think a storm is coming. There are all kinds of things. The question is, are we
paying attention?
Right,
and to nature and what's going on around us. Yeah,
right. And are we parroting the correct things or the incorrect things?
Mm-hmm.
I dare whoever responsible for the Ministry of Don't Practice Obeah.
Please, we need a guide.
Right, because we do have some tools available to us, indigenous practices, old cultural things we used to do that will help us, but more importantly, will make us feel more confident and, you know, in ourselves, in our ability to navigate this place that we are in, this place that is our home. Mm-hmm. I got a text here. This one's for the producer. It said, I couldn't hear Pumpkin Eater clearly, can't hear the callers clearly. So let's go to this caller, producer, and test it out. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
A pleasant good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning, Sparky. How you doing?
I don't know if they could hear me. Can they hear me?
Yep.
I could hear you. Producer, you could hear him? Yeah,
you know,
we could hear you.
You know, they also said, Ms. Green, say, even look at the ants. If you see the ants running wild and doing a lot of long lines,
mm-hmm.
the ants are storing up a bad weather.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
They say a lot of stuff, you know. What's you see? A bunch of ants around the trees or ants on the kitchen counter or ants all over the place?
Mm-hmm.
People got all kinds of sayings. I don't know who talks to them. They got one guy, one Catholic priest called St. Francis of Assisi. They say he used to speak to the animals.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that story?
Yeah, Assisi.
Yeah, they say
he's a Assisi. He's a Assisi. Yeah.
They call it Saint. St. Francis of Assisi. He left the priesthood and went to go and live in the wilderness by himself. And they say when they found him again, he used to be able to talk to animals.
Yeah, well, he took the priesthood with him. You know, he had a different ministry. He decided to minister to those who could
get himself. He got tired of human beings. He rather live with animals.
I don't blame him.
But, you know, I wanted to ask you something because I'm not going to deal with the hurricane right now. Just give me a moment here. You deal with agriculture, and you're always talking about it, right?
Yeah.
You know about a place called the Feed Mill out Gladstone Road, right?
Yeah.
You know how aggravating it is to be calling the Feed Mill, because you know to get to the Feed Mill, it's nothing but bad road.
Yeah.
Yeah,
road. You need a backhoe or a tractor or a Mack truck.
Sparky, when you pull up to the gate, you must grab one of the goats in the field and ride the goat back to the feed mill. Don't take your car down there.
Now, this is the government ministry of agriculture where all the farmers go to get their food and stuff, right?
Uh-huh.
But you know what it is to drive from up in the east all the way to the feed mill because they answer their phone for 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To get down there, to go over that bad road, for them to tell you the machine breakdown, Sparky, or we waiting on our shipment to come in, and they ain't gonna know when they gonna have something. They don't know when they gonna have something. You call the Ministry of Agriculture to find out for information. I must say, there's a wonderful lady that answers the phone at Ministry of Agriculture, a Miss Cheryl Isaacs. Talks off to her. She's a wonderful receptionist. She tries her best, but every time she transfers your calls, it goes to somebody's desk where nobody answers.
I got you.
Hold on. Whether you go into the minister's office, the permanent secretary's office, nobody answers the phones.
Thank you.
Right? We don't know what's going on with this hurricane. I got a friend up in Freeport that just cracked a couple of minutes ago. He asked me, he said, Sparky, why every time hurricane coming, they coming right at Freeport?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is only a joke, everybody. I said, let me tell you something. No, he coming in Abaco first. He said, because God, every time God see them building illegal shanty.
Okay, thank you,
all right.
Producer. Thank you for cutting that. That ain't no nice joke.
Nope.
That can't wake Sparky. He was having such a good time, man. He was having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we don't make sport of that. You know, Dorian was one of the most horrific collective experiences in the Bahamian journey. And so we're not going to crack jokes.
But he does make a good point about, you know, the Ministry of Agriculture could do better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, it could have somebody answering the phone. It could, like he says, it's a long way.
And
prepare the infrastructure. You know, it doesn't seem like they're serious.
Yeah. It was very surprising to see the state of the road to the feed mill and also to experience trying to make a purchase there.
Mm-hmm.
Not the best experience overall. And very surprising for a government agency.
Right. And then understanding that we haven't taken into account the dynamics of a farmer's workday, right? The farmer mm-hmm. doesn't have time to leave the farm to come to the mill to find out if they could purchase feed,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's just, it's just problematic. But I can also say to BTC, don't wait for people to call you to say that their phone line isn't working. You should be making regular inspections of these large systems. Given the anecdotal data that is out there,
mm-hmm.
you should be on it. It's just like with the pothole blitz that our Minister of Works said that the government is about to engage, right? There should be inspectors. You shouldn't have to wait for me to call you and tell you there's a pothole, like the pothole still on Bernard Road between SAC and Budget. No, you shouldn't have to do that. Anyway, let's get to this caller, and then I'm going to get to the rest of the text. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good evening, Sparky and Oasis, along with you. I'm your guests, Aaron.
Good morning, Bremen. How you do?
I'm holding. We need justice, law, and order in this country.
Yes, sir.
But my main reason for calling, right?
Uh-huh.
Sparky just satisfied my curiosity,
mm-hmm.
right? Last week, ants was all over my counter, in my cupboard, right?
Yeah.
And I had nothing sweet around. So I was wondering what really happened, and the counter was clear, you know?
Yeah.
And they, if I put my hand in the counter, they would sting me, right?
Yeah.
And I was wondering what was happening, right?
Yeah.
And I couldn't figure it out, but now, knowing that Sparky just explained that situation, I understood what was happening.
Absolutely, and it made...
My last point is, right?
Mm-hmm.
I love sissy women.
Listen, look here. Bremen. Okay.
I'm lying.
Thank you, producer. Let's cut that. Bremen, let me show you something. I can't laugh like that on the radio. The people paying me to talk to you, not laugh. I take that in the spirit with which it was offered in love and support in an attempt to show that, look here, Bahamian men are just loving and they love women no matter their persuasion, no contracts involved. You don't have to give me nothing or owe me nothing. I just love y'all. That's the spirit within which I'm taking it. Thank you very much, Bremen. Don't be mad at me because I had to cut you.
I think the hurricane making people go a little...
It's a hurricane and a full moon, you know.
Yeah.
It's a hurricane and a full moon. See, I'm not mad at Bremen Gale because the people who's out there talking, they put out 6 videos about how they don't like me.
Right.
So I'm not mad. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
That one just catch me off guard.
No problem.
A text here that says, I don't think raccoons eat avocado. I don't think they eat, like,
Do
I think
they discriminate?
No, they don't. They try it.
Okay.
And then they realize they don't like it. And then they drop it to the ground. Because I've been watching people tree.
Okay.
Yeah. I ain't a thief. I'm a scientist.
Right.
And the raccoons will take like one swipe at it, taste it, and obviously don't like it, and just like
drop it.
I think they knock it out the tree.
Okay.
Right. And so they prefer something sweeter, but they will eat. They're not gonna starve. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I got a text here. We still have a Ministry of Agriculture. Oh no, I think there's supposed to be a question mark there. Yes, we still have a Ministry of Agriculture. Okay, so Last week, I wanted to talk about food security in the face of uncontrollable political global events like the U.S. invasion of Europe, commonly known as the Russian invasion. Sorry. Commonly known as the Russian invasion of the Ukraine or the Russo-Ukraine war. Looking at how supply chains and food shortages exacerbated by political instability in the world's top two breadbaskets, Ukraine and Brazil, impact our ability to eat what we want when we want. Well, this week, I would like to talk about food security and food sovereignty in the face of climate change and extreme weather events.
Mm-hmm. Especially with an event like a hurricane that we're about to experience.
Yeah.
We can obviously assume that food shipments and food stocks will be reduced slightly or become unavailable for hopefully a brief period of time due to systems such as this one, where our primary source of getting food into our food stores, for example, would be through shipments, which would be affected by the storm.
Yeah.
So are we in a position to have this experience again and again and again? And then what are we going to do about it in terms of food security and having keeping things accessible for the Bahamian population and food?
Right. And
well, it seems like we're living hand to mouth. You know,
right.
That we rely on these supply chains. Because I remember at the beginning of the pandemic, we found out we only have 3 or 4 weeks food supply on the island.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean to warn people, obviously, but, you know, and that was a big realization. Do we have any where we can store rice or grits or root crops, you know, that...
Right, that are hurricane-proof, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like... Yes, a little... It seems like these are things that should already have been sorted out, right? But then I was reading an article in yesterday's show about the new marina on the end of Fox Hill. And one of the things they're touting is like the first hurricane-proof storage facility for boats, right? And I'm like, but hold on, we'd like the third largest boat registry in the world. We are the third, you know, one of the largest archipelagos in the hemisphere. How is it that we haven't already, you know, implemented that service here?
If you drive along Eleuthera up towards, you know, Gregorytown, you'll see these big silos. That's how they store grain.
Yes.
Built solid. Everyone's probably seen them. And so during a hurricane, they would protect your grain.
Right. Now, listen, those silos were old when I was 6'7", riding from Camp Simonette to the home of the giant mosquito in the North Eleuthera, right? They were old then. Can a silo like that, can those structures prevent against damage from storms today? And do we have anything today? Callers, audience, if you do know, text or call in. Do we have storage facilities in New Providence or on the Family Islands that could withstand a major storm, Category 3?
You know, we do have hills. You know, you could dig into a hill, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You could go, you know, we're 80, a lot of the islands, especially if you go to Gregorytown, you know, it's got to be 80, 100 feet above ground. You just dig straight into that hill and create a vault. You know, we're going to talk about seed vaults.
Right.
You need to put it somewhere where it's going to be safe. I'm sure with our ingenuity and the people that we have here, the brilliant people we have here in the Bahamas, we could come up with a solution.
Virtually impossible to assume that there have been no good ideas, that there have been no good proposals for solutions for what we are talking about. And I think it speaks to the failure of successive governments that these things have not been implemented up until this point. Even at the beginning of the pandemic, when there was this push for the individual gardens, the backyard growing, you know, people on lockdowns unable to move around to take advantage of creating their own food source in their backyard. And even that, I really had hope that something would have been implemented at that point to create, again, food security for the general Bahamian population.
Mm-hmm.
And that did not take place. And a lot of the backyard gardening that was started has now since stopped, honestly.
Right, because it people need to be a part of a system, right?
Mm-hmm.
To motivate, to perpetuate, right? Why am I growing this?
Mm-hmm.
Who am I going to give it to? I grow a lot of greens. I want to give it to my family, right? Because we all need greens. We all should be eating greens. They don't know how to cook it. They are not inspired to cook it.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had a processing facility that I could give all those greens to, and then I could come back and purchase or receive a case of tinned spinach or bottled spinach, right? That's mm-hmm. been steamed and bottled. That I know my family, when it's dinner time, they could just open the bottle, shake it into a pan, add some onion, salt, pepper, garlic, thyme, and be good to
Great,
go.
Yeah.
They're more likely to take it mm-hmm. and use it, right? And so I agree with you. We expected with the amount of energy and money pumped into backyard gardens in the mid pandemic that we expected to see something more, right?
Yes.
But I think people just need a coordinating mechanism, something that they could tie into. Because just like with the farmer and the feed mill, people don't have time to do all of the parts,
mm-hmm.
right? But they can tie into an already functioning system, right? That they could figure out, okay, these guys over here say it's spinach season. Well, I got the spinach over here. I could go add to that, and my 10% will yield me a case of spinach,
mm-hmm.
you know, pre-cooked spinach, and I down for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Going to what that gentleman said earlier, you know, the Ministry of Agriculture mm-hmm. could be sending out texts, right, to everyone. Now it's time to get your seedlings in.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do your carrots, do your this, do your that, do your tomatoes, and that would give us an impetus, right? Because everyone's, like you say, dropped off. The emergency's over, and now it's like back to going to the supermarket.
Mm-hmm. In fact, you know, like what we need is a weekly show, you know, called the mm-hmm. called the Almanac, right? And so people could tie in, say, okay, you know what? I forget. Let me go tune in. They on tonight, 7? Yeah, it's 7. Me go figure out what to do. The moon up? Oh, wait, the moon up. You need to go find out what they're saying. What can we plant now?
Mm-hmm.
People are eager. They get the cues. They want to do it, but they need help because they can't do all the parts.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, that's the music. We got to go to a break. When we come back from the break, are Bahamians prepared to eat what they can grow? And are they prepared to do the hard work of growing what they want to eat? When we come back, you're on the clock on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
The Project Execution Unit of the Ministry of Finance hereby advises that due to inclement weather, the e-mobility workshop scheduled for Tuesday, November 8th, 2022 has been rescheduled to Thursday, November 10th, 2022 at 2 p.m. and the workshop on bidding documents for solar energy projects and the government procurement portal scheduled for Wednesday, November 9th, 2022 will now be held on Friday, November 11th, 2022 at 10 a.m. The new dates are all subject to the all clear from the Department of Meteorology.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
We know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online, to merchant terminals and e-commerce options. We're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Here we go.
Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, they've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.J.S. Johnson Insurance has the best. Always, you're always covering me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green on this World News Tuesday with Mr. Mark Palmer and Ms. Gail Hanna in studio with us. Listen, to join the conversation, you could call 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. Our text line is 422-4796. Remember, that's the Guardian Radio text line powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. All right, got a text here. Good morning, Green and company. Ant's nest took 2 years to come back in the yard where I live after Dorian. The water was settled in the yard for 8 days. Mm-hmm. I was about to Bremen, Sparky is right, but it could also just be due to extreme flooding, mm-hmm. right? And so, you know, these ants, in fact, they say if you line up all the ants, if you counted up all the ants on the planet right now, it would they would outweigh, right? If you put all of the humans on the planet on one side of the scale and all of the ants on the planet on one side of the scale, the ants would outweigh the humans. Hmm. Humans, take stock.
Be warned.
This is not a joke. We think that we are the most intelligent species on the planet. Mm-hmm. Every day I doubt it more and more.
What about all the cockroaches on one side?
They just... No.
They're heavier, right?
Well, I mean, listen, I cannot diss the cockroach because there is a lesson to be learned from them. Roaches, taxes, and political parties, they ain't going nowhere. They withstand the test of time. There are lessons we could learn from all of them. All of them. I'm only joking. I am not likening political parties or their members to cockroaches. Not at all.
But it's not out of the question.
No, they're like roaches. Y'all don't play with roaches.
Especially once they take flight.
Oh, right. You could cut off their head and they still flying at you. Do not play. But this is also another indicator when you see an increase of roaches in the house. It's not just that maybe you need to clean.
Right.
It could be that you've had a breach of your pipes caused by water levels rising. It could be that you have a flood area underground, like something's happened and you may need to have your yard surveyed. Because these things are possible. You could have a den of roaches, a pocket of roaches, like a roach hatchery in the ground, under your house, near your house. The same thing with snakes. All of these things are possible. Mm-hmm. Person say, that's why I kill all the ants I can. Okay, don't. You can't kill them. You can't even try. It don't make sense. What you do is you...
redirect them.
Right, with borax, with salt. And you keep them out of your house. That's all you could do. Mm-hmm. You can't kill them all. And it doesn't make sense to poison the earth, your water supply, the environment, trying to kill them because you can't. Mm-hmm. Ants are just one of those things you got to learn to live with and keep sugar ants and biting ants out your house. Okay, so I was looking at a number of articles and things. I found the National Food and Nutrition Security Policy, an Agenda for Action for the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. That's the title. If you go online and search it, you can find it. The National Food and Nutrition Security Policy and Agenda for Action for the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. So I went to chapter 9. I went to 9.2. which is natural disasters. So chapter 9 is food security to the natural disasters subchapter. And it says, the national climate change policy highlights several consequences of climate change, which include depletion and pollution of potable groundwater supplies, mm-hmm. loss of agricultural land and reduced agricultural productivity from salinity, that's from increased salt, introduction of alien pests and diseases and increases in the incidence of pests and diseases of crop plants, introduction of insect vectors of diseases of livestock and humankind, contagious diseases and heat stress-related syndromes, and coral reef bleaching. Weather and non-weather-related events, which include droughts and fires, lead to the depletion of household assets and can cause transient insecurity, and recovery may require food and non-food assistance.
Mm-hmm. Well, it would be interesting to see what the recommendations of that plan are, you know, what the Ministry of Agriculture is going to do over the next, you know, during this administration. Because I see the minister is out and about. He's, I know he's been in Luthra. He's doing, you know, there's a lot of work. I see also that there, you know, MOUs being signed at the moment for, you know, for Bahamian products as well. So there's definitely things going on.
Yeah.
You said MOU?
MOU.
MOUs.
What is that, sorry?
That's a memorandum of understanding. Okay. So these are like private-public partnerships, right. And I think there's one that you wanted to talk about.
Well, I was going to mention in The Guardian this week, or last week, Milo Butler signs MOU with BAIC on distribution of Bahamian products.
Which is fantastic.
Right. Mm. It says, as a part of the agreement, Bahamian produced jams, jellies, sauces, drinks, comfrit abada, cassava flour, peanut butter, and Bahamian-made wines will be sold through Milo Butler and Sons' networks.
Because I would love to get cassava flour, you know, those kind of things that you just can't find
in
the stores, or locally made peanut butter.
That you should be able to find. Mm-hmm. Cassava flour, coconut flour.
Breadfruit flour.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In fact, did you all know that a breadfruit tree can sustain a family of four over 10 years?
Oh, did not
I
know
have
that.
One in my my wife had me up the other day to get the last one out. I missed my head by 2 inches.
It's three of y'all, right? Right? I can make
three,
four.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
you
make four.
You could be the fourth.
Yep.
Yeah.
We're going to work it out. We're going to work it out. Okay, I got some text
that weight,
here.
You know how much that weighs? 7 pounds.
Wow.
One breadfruit.
Very nice.
And so we chipped it. Mm-hmm. We baked it. Mm-hmm. I mean, because we don't really eat it. Breadfruit is delicious.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. When you bake that, put a little butter over the top.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
roast it.
Better,
fry it.
Roast it better than any these potatoes we get from the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Let's go to this caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. I think we missed you, caller. Oh, I'm so sorry. We missed you.
But breadfruit, right? It's a very, I mean, if you go to Haiti, it's very much a common staple.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we don't eat it. I mean, we eat more plantain, things like that, you
right.
know, grits, but we don't really eat breadfruit.
In fact, we play in. We sort of trapped in the merchant and the global north consumer imagination.
Yes.
Because we should be Fry Central.
Yeah.
It's one business. I can't call the business name because they ain't paying me, right? But if I had a business who sell fries, I sell in all kinds of fries, right?
Sweet
you're saying
potato fries.
White potato, sweet potato fries. Bonito, white sweet potato fries.
Mm-hmm.
I double fry in the platen. You want single fry platen or double fry platen,
mm-hmm.
right? Cassava fries. Mm. The breadfruit fries. Mm-hmm. The list goes on and on. Let's try this caller again. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. How you do?
Happy Tuesday, Miss Green.
Happy Tuesday.
And good morning to your guests.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Listen, you guys talking about homemade stuff. There was a lady that I know from Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
I think she has this thing that she brings in when she comes back. It's like a peanut butter,
mm-hmm.
but it's based on corn.
Mm.
It tastes really nice. You can taste the roast corn in it. It tastes really nice, but it looks like, and it's the same makeup as the peanut butter.
Roast.
I don't know how they make that, but that is something that they make. It tastes awesome. It has a good spice to it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Because I know about Labapen, which I think is, sorry, a little loud, which is chestnut, I think. Right? And
I'm not sure what it is they make it out of, but you can taste the roast
the corn in it. Yeah, no. Somebody... We were able to buy Labapen on the dock one time, and then somebody was telling us it's a chestnut. It's like a chestnut, and then we made cookies with it, and they tasted like a mix between like hazelnut chocolate chip and walnut
nice.
Chocolate chip cookies.
Okay,
it's off the chain.
Yeah, it tastes really nice. I always say if I knew if I could find then go get some more of that. Because I think I eat that job. It was really that nice.
Absolutely. Thank you. And now I must say to my listening audience, if you know what the caller is talking about, please call me or anybody at Guardian at 323-6232. Tell them, pass the message to me. Or 428-0719. That's the on-the-clock show number, 428-0719.
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try again.
We would like to sample that. Now, I have a text here that says ant flour. When we were talking about all them fancy flowers, they were saying ant flour.
You make flour from ants?
And I want to say, Texter, don't play with these people. Because I just watched a documentary from a region in a country in Africa. So it is near a lake. There's a lot of swampy, lakey land. And in the summer, it's Mosquitoville.
Okay.
But I ain't talking naughty Lutra, back of the woods, long key mosquitoes. I talk in militarized mosquitoes. I'm serious. So I watched a little documentary. I think it's on BBC. And this is what was fascinating. There were so many mosquitoes that they would collect mosquitoes in pots by swinging pots through the air and make mosquito patties.
Wow.
They make a meat patty made from mosquitoes.
Mm-hmm.
And each meat patty could have like a million or so mosquitoes in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
This is so dear text.
Do what you can with what you got.
Sounds
that's
delicious.
Right. Don't play.
Not.
I got a text here that says, I'm going to try my hand at growing garlic this week. I like them, so the Lord will help me.
Okay.
The other thing that's really easy to grow, like weed, is turmeric.
Ah.
And that is,
you mean like
so
weeds, plural?
Like a weed, you know.
Yeah.
And it's incredibly anti-inflammatory.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Turmeric is really good for you.
A lot of people are suffering their chronic illnesses are due to inflammation. So if you could take some turmeric, grind that up, put that in your tea or on your food, we could really improve our health.
Mm-hmm. Right, and for people that don't have their own yard, like if you're renting or you're living with family, you really want to grow, but you want to be mobile, right? You want somebody going towards your garlic, cooking dinner, and you tell them buy their own garlic. You could just pick up your bag and run with your garlic. When you buy your soil, leave the soil in the bag. For things like carrots and beets, where you want to allow or let gravity help you, then you're going to turn the bag so it's tall.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to slit the bag at the top and plant at the top. Let your carrots and your beets drop. If you want to grow things that are above ground and stalky and get really high, then you're going to lay the bag flat on the ground.
Okay.
And you're going to cut the top of the flat surface and grow in there.
Nice.
But dear texter, grow garlic. Why? Because mosquitoes don't like garlic. Like Mr. Palmer said, you grow turmeric. Why? Because turmeric is anti-inflammation medicine. And trust me, all us, we swell right up with stress, with heartache, heart disease, heart pain, right? Inflammation is, anti-inflammation foods are the key. Oh, you mean somebody's saying, I think they're saying that the mosquito thing is gross and I shouldn't have mentioned it. Let me tell you something. Luckily for you, you live in the tropics where we have a whole plethora of famine foods available to us, things that we can eat when things are rough. Did you know that the vast majority of pineapples are edible? Bromeliads. A pineapple is a bromeliad. Bromeliads are famine food, but you got to be careful. There's a handful that you can't eat. Silk cotton, famine food, right?
Wow.
Chia, tree spinach, I give that out. I sell it and I give it out. It's famine food. It's a hot weather tolerant spinach. When your vine spinach stops growing in the summer heat, your tree spinach is ready to take over the spinach production. And so even Gnep, the seed of the Gnep, once you eat off all the flesh and you crack the peel, and there's that white nut underneath there, you can sort of, we grow up sucking on it and all the starch and nutrients, but you can steam it, you can roast it and mash it as a starch form. Somebody says cocoa plum also should also not be food.
Oh, no.
Dear sir, I don't know how Cocoa Plum hurt you. I don't know who did this to you. I'm apologizing on behalf of the whole of the Bahamas, because ain't no Bahamian going to agree with you on that. Another text, someone got funding on Shark Tank for cricket flour.
Yep.
Yes. Mm-hmm. In fact, I saw a bag of chips being advertised, not locally, but online, that contained cricket flour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
See, the mosquito thing sounds gross until you sort of juxtapose yourself to a country like China that has 1.5 billion people. And so food security is national security. And you have to figure out how to feed all of those people every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people have already realized the value of things like insects.
Yeah, it's a Western Eastern thing. If you go to the East, something like 30% of protein comes from insects.
Yeah.
And that's quite normal. You know, people look at that as quite normal. We would look like, oh my God, we'd never eat that, right?
Cultural differences.
Yeah. You know, and a lot of people, they don't get it, and we don't get it. So people come here and they're like, oh, the ocean. I could leave eating sort of crickets and I could come to the ocean and eat fresh every day. And then they watch us pull a ocean snail or ocean roach out the water. That's a shrimp. Gross. It's just natural.
They're delicious.
They are delicious. See, this is it. They are delicious. These fishes are delicious, right?
Well, I've seen they're scared to eat it, like, you know, with the head still on the fish or, you know, various things like that we enjoy and would consider to be normal.
As a part of the culture.
A nice curb.
Right.
Yeah, a nice curb. Yeah.
Right, and they're looking at us like, but that's ocean insect, miss.
Mm-hmm.
And you upset that I eaten land insects. What's the difference, you know? And we got to get used to that sort of thing. But also think about this. If, as it appears, we are not diversifying away from tourism, but diversifying within tourism, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then the government's focus is on tourism and attracting foreign direct investment that's tourist related. I would maybe think about providing these products. I know we do have some purveyors, right? And we do have some people that are sourcing these things.
Mm-hmm.
But I would really think about, you know, what does it mean to be on the cutting edge of the tourist product?
You people know? Are eating those items.
Absolutely. And how do you make what you have seem more attractive to them and trendy, you know, and on the cutting edge? We didn't get to talk about a lot of the things I had on this paper, although we got to talk about a lot of it, right? Mm-hmm. And I just want to mention there's a USA John Ogonowski and Doug Berreter farmer-to-farmer program called Blake Road. That's NPCC, called New Providence Community Center Church, for more details. The training is going on today and tomorrow, November training in food safety, processing, and preservation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get on board. You don't know what you could do with all that mosquito in your backyard. You could start a whole business. Anyway, Gail, Mark, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Aaron.
I can see you all next week. You all come with the topics next week, because my raccoon is feeding me with topics. We can talk about food all week. To my audience, thank you. Thank you for joining us today. You guys have a great day and stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with Cecil Newry is up next.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.